And stand with me in honor of the reading of the word of the Lord here this evening. I hope you brought your Bibles tonight. I'm going to start a sermon series. I'll be teaching this at least probably take us 3 weeks to get through this. But believe in God's going to help us as we move forward. And looking forward to all that God is doing. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. I know we had to slow the train down a little bit, but we're picking it back up. And God's doing wonderful things, the Revival Tabernacle. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to stand and just show me. Show me your Bible. You need your Bible. There you go. Praise God. You get extra credit for bringing your Bibles to the house of the Lord. And looking forward to God doing great things this weekend. And just so much on my mind and my heart I want to share with you. And we'll get to it. We'll get through it. And I hope you're praying. I hope you got your seatbelt fastened. We talked about that, seatbelt fastened. There's more sermons that are loaded or will be loaded in the next 24 hours on YouTube and on the church website. So thank the Lord for that. And turning in our Bibles this evening to James chapter 3 and standing with me, we stand in respect and honor and reverence to the word of the Lord. And remember, God's law is the highest law there is. And some of you remember I talked about that some time back. But James chapter 3 and 13, it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." Somebody say wisdom. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom," somebody say wisdom.
"Wisdom.
This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly." It's carnal. It's fleshly. It's sensual. Somebody say, ooh.
Ooh.
"It's devilish." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't be like the devil. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's devilish. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." But notice this. "But the wisdom that is from above is first." Primero, right? "Pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Hallelujah. "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Right? Peace, 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 right? Or victory. And I'm going to talk to you for next, when I'm teaching on Wednesday nights, I'll be talking to you on this thought. Wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, James was the leader of the Jerusalem church, and some would say he was the bishop, the overseer. There was thousands, tens of thousands of Christians, Holy Ghost filled, Spirit led believers in Jerusalem, they were everywhere. And in fact, we know that in Acts chapter 2 and, 42 through about 46 or so, it says, and they went house to house. And so they would meet. I need to stay on track for sake of time, but if you've ever gone to, you remember the camp meeting days at Santa Maria. You'd bump into people for days on end, especially those that lived here. You'd be going through just working and stuff. You'd be running into to people, and that's a lot of what it was like during this time of the book of Acts. And so James is writing to the first century Christians. He's writing to them, and he tells us in James 1:1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And he's writing to the recipients who were the first generation Christians. And the scripture tells us that in Acts chapter 11, it says, and they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. And so the gospel went with them. They didn't stop being Christians or believers or believing who they were, what God had given to them, just because they were no longer in Jerusalem. And so they traveled. And notice this. It says they went preaching the word. They went preaching the word. You look at the scripture in Acts 11 and 19. It's Bible study night, so I'm going to be a little bit more with scripture. But if you can go back to that, it says they went preaching the word. So they were scattered abroad, and they went preaching the word. And so you've got to understand something, that the reason why they were scattered abroad and the reason why they went preaching the word was because there was persecution. We see in Acts chapter 8 and 1 of the first martyr, the first Holy Ghost-filled person that was stoned because they were a Christian was Stephen. And notice in Acts 8 and 1, it says, and notice who was responsible for this. Saul consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad. And they went to different areas. They went to different regions. In fact, it says that they went to Judea and Samaria. So how many of you have remember Acts chapter 1 and 8? Anybody remember Acts chapter 1 and 8? Cleona remembers Acts 1 and 8. And it says, and the scripture says, and you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And who said that? Jesus said that, right? And what did he tell them? He says, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And where? Judea, Jerusalem, right? Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And here we see this taking place just 7-8 chapters later. And the reason why they were scattered abroad was because of persecution. Don't get creeped out. Just saying. So the book of James is what many would call the Proverbs of the New Testament. And James is writing to these Christians that are under persecution. They're scattered abroad, just like Jesus said would happen, right? And they're preaching. And obviously, if they're preaching, they're hopefully, they're not hypocrites, right? They're practicing what they preach. And they're going to other areas, taking the gospel with them. The gospel did not stay in Jerusalem with the church building or the house to house. But wherever they went declaring the gospel. And so James sent this letter to the Christians, and he's writing to them. And it's 5 chapters long, but right from the very beginning, in James chapter 1 and 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And so he's basically reminding them of if it's a joyous thing to be have temptations, to have trials, to knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and he goes on and on. And so I say all that to you because many times we are seeing what we're living and going through today, and we're wondering, when is it going to end? Well, remember, it's all about what? It's all about the treasure. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the gospel. The Lord is going to fulfill his word. Hey, for us, it may have been thousands of years or hundreds of years, 2,000 years from Jesus up till now. But we are seeing things close in, and they're closing in tighter and tighter and tighter. And who knows what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks? It may get tighter and tighter, or we may have a big celebration. But it is what it is. And I already said it, right? I already swallowed the cat, as Uncle Ronnie would say. Might as well not choke on the tail. But we've seen the wisdom of this world cause people to lose their mind. And James is telling the Christians, hey, you're count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now I would not in any sense of the imagination compare what we are faced and are facing to what our brothers and sisters in Acts have faced or are facing. I wouldn't even consider remotely close. But in our lifetime, this is as tough as it's ever been. And as tough as it's ever been, we have never reached as many people with the gospel than we have up until the last 18 months. Never. It has stretched us. And the wisdom of this world will say, stay home. Hide. You don't need to gather together. Oh, we need to gather together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so I'm building the foundation for the next couple lessons, but there's the scripture tells us in First Corinthians, in fact, I did not even give this to them, but in 1 Corinthians 3:19, you know what the Lord thinks of the wisdom of man. The scripture tells us, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That's what he thinks. And then Paul goes and quotes Job 15. He says, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. It means that he takes what they would do in the world, and they're thinking they're doing something wise, and the Lord is able to take that and do something different with it and make it be a blessing for the people of God. It goes back to what we would understand in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, where Joseph says, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good, right? It goes on to tell us that he's all things work together for good, right? The Lord has a way of just turning things around, and that's why, man, I'm so far off my notes, but that's why when you see somebody else getting blessed, you need to bless the Lord with them, celebrate with them, because if he's blessing them, he's in the neighborhood. He may be coming down to your house to bless you. So don't hate on your brother and sister when they're blessing the Lord. Rejoice with them that rejoice. But James gives us words of wisdom when he tells us in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. And so, in all his ways. So tonight I want to talk about the wisdom from above, and wisdom is, in layman's terms, is taking the knowledge that you have and applying that to right judgment or action or discernment or insight. And that comes from the word wise, to be wise. And I did not know that. I did not know this, that at least I could remember. But wisdom in the Greek means Sophia. So whenever you see somebody by the name of Sophia, you might want to go talk to her. She may have some words of wisdom for you. But the world, system has its own set of rules and wisdom and insight and trends and fads and boundaries. But these are forever changing. And we see in Scripture, in our Scripture text here tonight, that the words of our Bible do not change. And let's look at James chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, who is a wise man that endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Notice verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Notice this in a New Living Translation. It says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Carnal wisdom, earthly wisdom, will produce carnal actions, which will then produce carnal and sinful results. Wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Have you ever met somebody, or as I like to say, you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody who claimed to be wise but acted foolish? Right? They've got more degrees than a thermometer, but they have no common sense, right? And Psalm 14 and 1 tells us that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No bueno. They're corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. So smart academically, but they're foolish in their thoughts and their actions. They have high IQs, but foolish in their behaviors. In fact, Paul tells us, and when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, ever learning. But notice this, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, if we could do a word study on that. Notice this, in verse 8, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. It means that they have depraved minds and counterfeit faith. That's the wisdom of this world.
Amen.
And James shows us, and he defines to us the wisdom of the world, which in James 3 and 14 says, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not. That's not something to be proud about. Bitter envy is malice with zeal. It's jealousy mixed together with bitterness. And this is where we see some people that think of ways to get even with someone else, and they do it with a smile. That's the playbook of this world.
That's right?
Right? Yeah. Stay on track, Pastor. We see it very often in the media. We see it very often in social media. It's the evil intent. It's the evil action. It's you did me wrong, so I'm going to go tell all 7 billion people on social media what you did to me, and I'm going to add a little bit to it. It's strife and contention at home, strife and contention at the workplace, strife and contention at school, strife and contention in society, where this group thinks they know better and that group thinks they know better, and you got this group over here taking a little bit from both and saying, no, we've got it figured out. And we see strife and contention taking place. And let me tell you something, that strife, that contention, that carnality has nothing, is not welcome in the house of God at Revival Tabernacle. It should not be welcome in your mind, in your heart, or in your home. That is the foolishness of this world. Proverbs 14 and 15 tells us, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Somebody needs to circle and highlight. Take a picture of that, because you need to write that on your mirror. Right? You need to, I don't know what you could write it on your mirror with, but you need to write it on your mirror. But notice what it says in Proverbs 14 and 16 in the New Living Translation. The wise are cautious and avoid danger, but fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Talking about wisdom tonight from above. If you're going to pick a side,
amen.
Pick the side of the kingdom of God.
That's
the side. That's what Moses said. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? There's Team Jesus and there's Team Devil. I'm on Team Jesus. I'm not going to hell. I'm not looking for hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to getting to see Jesus. That's the side I'm on, because I am about the wisdom that's from above.
Amen.
We are seeing the demise of respect and authority. We are seeing the demise of I'm starting to understand how Noah felt just a little bit. It hasn't been 120 years. It's been 18 months. But I could relate just un poquito. I can relate just a little bit. We're seeing the realities of biblical prophecy unfolding right before our eyes every single day. In fact, on the way to pick somebody up for church today, Brother Tony, we had some work to get done before church, and I got a phone call from somebody that I hadn't talked to in a long time, and that worked for me, and they worked for me like 8 years ago, and he's calling and say, "Hey, boss, what's really going on? I know you're a Christian, and I know you're a preacher, and can you just kind of tell me kind of what do you think? What's going on?" And I didn't tell him what I thought. I told him what the Bible said. I just said, "Well, Matthew 24 is pretty much what you need to read tonight." And when you read that, give me a call, and I'll let you read another book. And Acts chapter 2 is what I'm going to give them. But could I tell you, that's the wisdom from above, and say, you know what? I don't want to give you my opinion, because my opinion may be flawed and it may be wrong, but let me give you the wisdom from above, which is the Word of God. It'll never get you wrong. It'll bail you out. It'll save you. It'll keep you. We're not careful. We'll become cynical. We'll become prideful. We'll become disengaged. Right? Brother Jess, I feel like a playlist that's on repeat. That's what you say nowadays. Some of you thought I was going to say a broken record. I feel like a playlist on repeat. But now is not the time to become disengaged. Amen. With God or your church. Now is not the time. And I will reemphasize, you can be disengaged and in the building, and you can be engaged and be at home, part of the online congregation. Just saying. But James tells us what to do during these times. He says, James 3 and 13, "Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." You don't need to argue with everybody.
That's right.
Just say, "Hey, I got something for you to read." The Bible. When you read it, come talk to me. But show it in your action.
Right.
Who you are. I'm a child of the Most High God. You call it a crutch. I call it trusting in the Lord and not leaning onto my own understanding.
That's
call it what you want. I lean on Jesus. And we don't need to show it by being contentious, strife, being bitter, ostracizing people, being vindictive, giving them the stink eye, being jealous, being contentious. That's the foolishness of this world. That's not spiritual. That's carnality. And it leads to trouble. And it leads to dishonesty. And it leads to mistrust. Notice this. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. It's fleshly. It's sensual. It's devilish. We don't want that. Notice this. Where there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. The wisdom of this world, the wisdom of the world, we know the scripture said is foolishness. Notice, but Philippians 3:19 says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things." Yeah. It goes on to tell us again in 1 Corinthians 3:3. "Are you yet carnal? There is among you envying and strife and divisions." You're being carnal. You're living like the people of this world. A Holy Ghost-filled, Spirit-led person should not be acting, behaving in the manner of someone that is not Spirit-led and is not living for God. They have an excuse. They don't know better yet. But you that have been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, you are to be the light of the world. You are to be the standard. You are to be the one that they look to and say, "There is hope. There is a better way. They're not losing their mind. They've got self-control, yet they're informed. They've got self-control, yet they're being cautious. They got self-control, but they're making good decisions. They don't have a spirit of fear, but love. They have love and a sound mind and peace. That's the wisdom from above.
Amen.
Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. You got to prove what is good, right? Why shouldn't I have to prove? Well, because, you know, back in our day, Sister Rodriguez, right? We used to say, oh, that's bad. Now you say that's bad, and, you know, it really means that's good, right? You said good is bad and bad is good. People aren't only confused about their biological makeup. They're confused about the words they speak. Right? Well, in this day and age, if there's ever a time to be renewed in our minds, it's now. And it's every day. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's very profound. Probably never heard me say it, but I'm going to read it. Every day, you've got to ensure that you have a personal Bible devotion and private personal prayer with the Lord. Every day. Every day. That will keep you sane, and most importantly, it'll keep you saved in the midst of everything we're facing. If you're having personal, private prayer and personal daily devotion, reading your Bible, even one chapter a day. I would recommend 3 chapters a day, but even one chapter a day. That's the reason why some folks are heeding to the wisdoms of this world and the trends of this world. Especially, my goodness, especially if they have been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know better. You know better than to drink the Kool-Aid of this world and disregard the bread of life. You know better. This is the bread of life. God's not the author of confusion. Scripture says, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So that's why we need to read and believe and heed the wisdom of the Word of God. It's never failing. It doesn't change. It's a sure foundation. It's a roadmap for life. What's in the Word of God will come to pass. It'll take place. And the wisdom that is from above, James tells us in James 3 and 17, is first pure. Notice this. I'm just going to cover pure tonight. Pure, it's innocent, it's clean, it's modest. It means it's pure is not guilty. Pure is not sinful, but it's modest. Pure is innocent. Pure is clean. It's purity. Something that is pure is not dirty. And so the wisdom from above is not vile. It's not dirty. The wisdom that is from above will never contradict the Word of God. Whether they legalize something or not, if it's an abomination in the Scripture, it's an abomination. It's still they're still pure. The bed should not be undefiled, but it ought to be pure. Their immodesty is still immodesty, but purity and modesty is wisdom that is from above. Pure is modest in the sight of God. If God calls it to be modest, then it needs to be modest. And modest in dress, modest in lifestyle, modest in conversation, modest in our behaviors. And let me say something, men. Modesty is not just for women, but we need to be modest. The psalm tells us, he that had clean hands and a pure heart. The scripture also says, I would that everywhere that men would lift up holy hands, clean hands. If you're a Christian, there should be no such thing as white lies, adult jokes, Oh, it's just locker room talk. No, the devil is a liar. That's not pure in the sight of God. That's the wisdom of this world. But the wisdom from above is pure. I like what Psalm 24 and 4 says. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, no sworn deceitfully. Notice this. He shall receive a blessing from the government and from the, right? Right? No, from the Lord. Man, when you get a blessing from the Lord, it beats every bonus check, every overtime check, every tax return, every stimulus check. It's not always monetary. Come on, somebody. When you get a blessing from the Lord, it's the things that He knows you need, and He gives it to you right when you need it. He'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. Pure doesn't mix with unpure, right? Pure doesn't compromise. Pure is clean, right? Being baptized in Jesus' name will make you clean because it washes away some of your sins, right? All your sins. Being baptized in Jesus' name will wash away all your sins. But it starts with repentance. We've got to repent. Repentance is not just for someone that comes to church for the first time, or repentance is not just for someone that got caught. Repentance is for everybody, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, right? It's baptism, repentance, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Why? It's the plan of salvation. It's not a way, it is the way. And that's the wisdom that is from above. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart. So, sounds like the blessed people have clean hands and pure hearts. And sounds what we're reading, that the blessed people shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Whatever is in the heart will flow. Right? It'll. If the heart is not pure, the actions and the words and the intentions will not be pure. Unpureness produces unpureness. Pureness produces pureness. And Titus 1 and 15 says, this is another powerful scripture. Unto the pure, all things are pure. When you're looking through the lens of purity, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. When you're looking for wrong, you'll find wrong. If you're looking to be offended, you'll find an offense. But if you're looking for a blessing, if you're looking to edify or encourage somebody, you'll find somebody to encourage and edify. If you're looking to come to church and to praise the Lord, it don't matter what's taking place up here. You say, I got a praise on the inside, and I gotta let it out. Because I am a worshiper, I'm a praiser. That's the wisdom that is from above. The word of God is pure. Proverbs 30 and 5 says, every word of God is pure. So that means that the people of God ought to be striving towards purity. The wisdom of purity flows down. The wisdom is not from that of this world, are going to be from a flow of carnality and sin and vices and mindsets that are contrary to the word of God. But somebody may say, oh, Pastor, how do I get wisdom? Well, James 1 and 5, James tells us how to get it. If any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. So, wisdom that is from above is first pure. So that means it displays a commitment to moral integrity without compromise. It's pure, right? That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 101 and 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. And he goes on to even say, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. So I would tell us as believers tonight, be careful what you watch.
That's right.
Be careful what you listen to.
That's right.
Be careful what conversations you allow yourself to become engaged in. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Fear is not faith. Panic is not a sound mind. Envy is not love. Gossip is not a spiritual gift. Come on, somebody. And you are not the garbage truck for everybody's opinions, conspiracies, or problems. Come on, somebody. That's the wisdom of this world. But the wisdom from above is pure. Proverbs 11 and 30, if the musicians would make their way, tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. Debating everybody about everything is not wisdom. In fact, in the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. The plan of salvation is the plan of salvation. There's no wiggle room with that. But trying to hit somebody over the head with a Bible, that's not wisdom. Be wise. Now is a great time to talk to people about the end time and the second coming of the Lord and the plan of salvation. That's a great, I'm getting phone calls about it from people I haven't heard from, I haven't talked to, I forgot what they look like. And they're calling, want to know, hey, boss, what's up? It's because they could see the foolishness of this world and things are closing in and the Lord is coming back and he's going to come back for a pure and a holy and a ready people. And I want to make sure that we are heeding the wisdom from above, being informed by heeding the wisdom that is from above. Notice this, 1 Peter 1 and 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love of the brethren. Notice this. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's wisdom from above as we stand here tonight. I got a question for you. Is the advice and opinions we're seeking, does it pass the wisdom from above test? Or is it contentious? Is it evil? Is it confusing? Is it carnal? Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5 and 15, see that you walk circumspectly. It's giving the example of walking on eggshells, being careful, redeeming the time, right? Because the days are evil. Notice what it says. Notice what it says. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know what the will of the Lord is? Is that you make it to heaven. That's the will of God. That you are saved. And you stay saved. That's the will of God. The inner quality of purity flows from the outward manifestations of the rest of what we're going to learn in the coming weeks. But it first starts with the purity. So David prayed a beautiful prayer. Psalm 51. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. Ha! Renew a right spirit within me. What a wonderful example from a man, that I had a heart after the Lord. He wasn't perfect. I'm coming to a close. He wasn't perfect, but he knew the importance of a pure heart, clean hands. So much that his son Solomon didn't ask for great riches, but he asked for wisdom. The richest man in all the world ever had everything we could dream and imagine. Asked for wisdom. God blessed him with everything else, right? Fulfilling the scripture, pure in heart shall be blessed. He asked for wisdom. I got a question for us tonight. Are we going to heed the wisdom from above and put everything else in a filter through that and see, okay, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I'm informed. I understand. I know what's taking place. I know what I'm facing. But God, you're going to give me wisdom to make these decisions. You're going to give me wisdom, Lord, to know when to say yes and when to say no, when to sign on the dotted line. God, you're going to give me wisdom, Lord, and when to ask, when to have conversations, Lord. But most of all, saints of God, we need to have clean hands and a pure heart. You want to be blessed, you've got to have that purity that flows from the inside out and say, Lord, let my thoughts, let my heart, let my mind, oh God, let it be pure, let it be clean. Would you begin to lift your hands right now and let us begin to pray. Come on, Father in heaven, we love you today, oh God.